Hare Krishna. Okay, so this morning we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're reading on the screen up there, you'll see text number 182. I'll just read 180 and 181 myself, and then we'll ask you to repeat the verse above. At the end of the class, we will go on until 8:45, and then at the end of the class, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. There'll be a mic. So, please do ask any questions you would like. So, we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila. This is chapter number 6, entitled The Liberation of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. And we're reading from text number 180 to 182. So, text number 180. Actually, there is no fault on the part of Shankaracharya. He simply carried out the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had to imagine some kind of interpretation, and therefore he presented a kind of Vedic literature that is full of atheism. Text number 181. Addressing Lord Shiva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Please make the general populace averse to me by imagining your own interpretation of the Vedas. Also, cover me in such a way that people will take more interest in advancing material civilization just to propagate a population bereft of spiritual knowledge." Okay, so we're reading on text number 182, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Lacey Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Lord Shiva informed Goddess Durga, the superintendent of the material world, "In the age of Kali, I take the form of a Brahmana and explain the Vedas through false scriptures in an atheistic way, similar to Buddhist philosophy." The word Brahmana Murtina in this verse refers to the founder of Mayavad philosophy, Shankaracharya, who was born in the Malabar district of southern India. Mayavad philosophy states that the Supreme Lord, the living entities and the cosmic manifestation are all transformations of this illusory energy. To support this atheistic theory, the Mayavadis cite false scriptures which make people bereft of transcendental knowledge and addicted to fruitive activities and mental speculation. This verse is a quotation from the Padma Purana, Uttarakhand 25:7. Srila Prabhupada ki. Amagyana timirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano bhishram stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati sva padantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalan shri guru unveshnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we continue the conversation between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to give Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya some background as to who this Shankaracharya is that whose teachings Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is following. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining, as is explained in the Padma Purana, the identity of Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya is none other than Lord Shiva. Not just Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva who was instructed by the Supreme Lord to come to this world and preach something which was against the Shastra. This is amazing. The Lord is the best teacher, but the teacher knows how to get the message through. And in this case, when the Supreme Lord wanted to get through the message to the world that devotion to Krishna is the highest thing, the first step on the way there was to tell Lord Shiva to come to this world and preach something which was against Shastra, which was against the Vedas, which was against pure devotion to Krishna. Mayavadam, preach Mayavad, impersonalism. Asat Shastram, this is against the Shastra, but I want you to preach it. Prachanam, Bodhamuchyate, this is a type of covered Buddhism. Buddhism is a philosophy of nihilism, nothingness, take God out of the picture. Mayavad or impersonalism is a covered type of Buddhism. It amounts to the same thing. Mayeva vihitam devi kalau brahmana murtina. Shiva is telling his wife, oh Devi, in Kali Yuga I come to the world as a brahmana named Shankaracharya. So the Lord is the best teacher. He is telling Shiva to come to this world and teach by deviation. The best teachers in the world don't just have philosophical capacity, but they have pedagogical ability. They know how to teach. Sometimes the best way to teach someone is to directly tell them, this is the ultimate truth, this is what you should do. However, in many cases, if a teacher does that, the people won't understand. And therefore, teaching by speech is only one way of teaching. There are many, many other ways of teaching that a teacher may incorporate in order to bring the students to the point that they want the students to come to. If you look at the Bhagavatam and if you look at scriptures, there are many different ways to teach. Here's a few ways in which the Bhagavatam teaches, or the saints and sages and acharyas teach. One way you can teach is teach by increment. That means you don't tell the student what the ultimate thing is straight away, but what you do is you teach them something which is on the way to that ultimate point you're trying to get them to. Therefore, we find in the Bhagavad, Narad Muni encounters Mugrari. And Mugrari is killing animals, but he's doing it in such a barbarous way. What is he doing? He's half killing them. So what does Narad Muni come and say? Okay, just one thing. Can you just do one thing? Kill them fully. Here's a sadhu. Here's a sadhu, a saint, and he's telling a hunter, kill them fully. But Narad Muni knew this was an incremental teaching which would then take Mugrari to a higher level. Mugrari then asked him, why kill them fully? Narad Muni said, because if you don't kill them fully and they suffer, in their next life they'll come and make you suffer in the same way. Then in Mugrari's mind it clicked, oh my God, that means even though I'm killing them, I'll also get suffering for that. So what should I then do? Then Narad Muni gives the next instruction. Then if you want more knowledge, then what you should do is break your bow. Break my bow, but then how will I survive? Don't worry. Then what should I do after that? Then you should go to your home and distribute all your wealth and give it all away, and then go to the river and build a cottage and grow a tulsi tree and start chanting. It all started from kill them fully. And look where it ended up. Teach by increment. Here's another way the Shastra teaches. Teach by elimination. What is Krishna doing in the first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita? He's telling Arjuna, karma yoga, stay in the world, don't leave home, don't give up your family, don't give up your job, stay in the world. For five chapters or four chapters, chapters 2 to 5, Krishna drills the message to Arjuna, stay in the world, stay in the world, stay in the world. And then what does Krishna do in the sixth chapter? He teaches by elimination. Because what he then says to Arjuna is, okay, you don't want to stay in the world? Then I tell you what to do. Do Ashtanga Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, Yam, Niyam, Asana, Pranayam, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. Arjuna hears the whole process. He says, Chanchalam Himana Krishna Pramathi Balavadridam Dashyaham Nigraham Manye Vayur Iva Sudushkaram. Krishna, my mind is more difficult than to control the wind. How you expect me to do Dhyana Yoga? Krishna said, so now are you ready to do what I was telling you? See? Teach by elimination. Next time, if you want to teach your kids something and they're not listening to you, then go on the journey of them and explain to them what will happen if they don't do what you tell them to do. Of course, they still may not listen, but sometimes it works. Teach by elimination. Here's another one. Teach by experience. When Krishna wanted to teach Uddhav what the greatest, most spotless, most pure and effulgent and dazzling love in the universe is, he didn't tell him. He didn't tell him, Uddhav, you're just a jnani bhakta. You just have jnana. He didn't tell him by speech. What did he tell Uddhav to do? Go to Vrindavan. Just go to Vrindavan. Not to learn anything, not, you know, just go to Vrindavan and do some service for me. And when Uddhav went, the experience he had there completely transformed. Asamaho charanare nujusam maham syam vrindavane kumapi gulma lato sadhinam. He witnessed the gopis, he experienced their love, and he said, I just wish to be a creeper in Vrindavan. Teach by experience. Here's another type of teaching. Teach by service. There was once one, he was the vice chancellor of the Benares University. So he came to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I think his name was Madan Mohan Malviya. So he was the vice chancellor of the Benares University. You can understand Benares, that's the center of Mayavad. He came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, Swamiji, I have many questions to ask you. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I cannot answer at the moment, but you know, there are some pujaris there, you can ask them. He said, these simple pujaris, no, these are intricate, deep, nuanced, philosophical questions. Bhaktisiddhanta said, just go there, then come back, we'll speak later. He went to see the pujaris. He said, I got questions. Pujari said, we are just simple pujaris, but you know, let's talk later, but can you help us wash the deity paraphernalia? We're doing some seva, some maha cleanup. Can you help? So there he was, the vice chancellor of the Benares University, with many deep philosophical questions, washing the paraphernalia like a humble servant. After some hours, he came back to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Saraswati Thakur said, okay, you can ask your question. He said, no more questions. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, therefore I told you, Sevan mukhe hi jiva do svayam eva spuratyada. Krishna's name, fame, form, qualities and pastimes will remain invisible to you unless and until you engage in devotional service, which begins with the tongue and then all your other faculties. Teach by engagement in service. So many ways to teach.
teach by miracle, isn't it? Krishna, for 10 chapters of the Gita, he was trying to teach Arjuna through audio presentation, speaking. Then Krishna said, okay, looks like we need a change of strategy here. So in the 11th chapter of the Gita, Krishna changes from audio presentation to visual presentation. Show the universal form. Oh my God, see the universal form. Miracle, teach by miracle. That was a miracle, isn't it? When Srila Prabhupada wanted to teach Krishna consciousness in India, he saw they are not listening. They're trying to imitate the West. Therefore, he went and did a miracle in the West. And when he came back to India and he was on stage with all his Western disciples, they said, Swamiji, what miracle did you perform? This is the miracle. They said, wow, that's some miracle. That convinced them. Teach by miracle. So many ways to teach. Teach by character. Here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sitting in front of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, and one may say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only started teaching after 7 days. But the fact of the matter is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching from day number one. Because when he was sitting there quietly listening, not saying anything, even in that time he was teaching by his own character of humility. And on the seventh day, having been taught the humility of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by seeing him say nothing for 7 days, Sarvabhauma said, teach me. And then Mahaprabhu taught. And it was powerful. Because humility opens the heart. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put the message in. Teach by character. Teach by deferral. Here's another way the Bhagavad teaches. Vidura left the palace, and as he was traveling all around, he encountered Uddhav at the Jamuna. And when two devotees of Krishna get together, then what is the natural effect? They begin talking about Krishna. So Uddhav started to relate all these amazing pastimes of Krishna. And then after some time, he stopped. Vidura said, "How? Why you stop? Don't stop. Keep speaking." Vidura said, if you want to learn more, then you go nearby to Haridwar. And in Haridwar is Maitreya Rishi. Maitreya Rishi is older than me, and he heard the same things I heard, and therefore you should go to him and learn from him. Teach by deferral. Sometimes you don't have to teach someone. Sometimes it's better to send them to someone else and say, learn from that person. Teaching by our speech is only one way to teach. Let us think about teaching by increment, teaching by elimination, teaching by miracle, teaching by character, teaching by engagement, teaching by deferral. So many ways to teach. So here, the Supreme Lord is teaching by deviation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining that the Supreme Lord initiated a philosophical deviation in the world. But actually, it was part of a greater master plan to ultimately bring theism back into the world. We won't go through the whole history, but as you are aware, Krishna appeared on this world, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, to establish dharma. But when Krishna leaves the world, Krishne swadham upagate, when Krishna goes to his swadham, dharma gnana dibi saha, dharma and jnana also leave. So the natural consequence when Krishna leaves this world is that dharma and jnana begin to decline. And eventually they decline to such a state whereby so many wrong activities were being performed in the name of the Vedas, and therefore, Keshava Dhrita Buddha Sharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare. The Lord appeared as Buddha, and Buddha taught Ahimsa, that one must be non-violent, the Eight Noble Truths, the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path, how to live in a moral way, how to basically overcome suffering that comes from the exploitation of the material energy. So the Buddha taught all of this to prepare the ground. And now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining that the further step in bringing theism, pure theism, back into the world was Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya, as we hear here, was born in a Brahmana family. At a young age, at 3 years old, Shankaracharya's father passed away, and therefore a deep sense of renunciation awoke in Shankaracharya from a young age. So Shankaracharya went to school, he learned so many things, he was brilliant. He was learning much, much quicker than everyone else. Photographic memory. See, some people have that, photographic memory. By age 8, you see, if one has jnana and vairagya, then parents become worried. Jnana, knowledge of the futility of the material world, and vairagya, a practical detachment from this world, that scares parents very much. Not that I have any of that, but I have personal experience. So, at the age of 8, Shankaracharya went to his mother. His father had passed away. So he went to his mother and he said, I think I should take sannyas. Sannyas, age 8. Mother said, out of the question. I've lost my husband. You are my protector. You cannot take sannyas. So what to do? Shankaracharya put that idea in the closet, but it didn't disappear. At age 12, an interesting incident happened that he was once walking out around his village, and he was bathing in the river, and somehow a crocodile came by and caught hold of Shankaracharya. Yeah, it was like Gajendra all over again. This crocodile catches Shankaracharya. He's not able to get free. So his mother is on the bank. What can she do? She cannot go in. She's shouting, she's crying. The crocodile is about to kill Shankaracharya. So Shankaracharya, he looks at his mother and he says, Mother, there is a Vedic injunction that if you're about to die, and at that moment you resolve to take sannyas, then the Supreme Lord will save you. So, Mom, can I take sannyas? So his mother's there on the bank. She's thinking, sannyas, death. Okay, take sannyas. Yeah, I give you permission. Take sannyas. So then Shankaracharya puts his hands up and he says, sannyas oham. I take sannyas. In a flash, the crocodile lets go. Even the crocodile is learned. He appreciates, you know, the vow of sannyas. And the crocodile just let go and the crocodile swam off. Shankaracharya comes out of the river. He pays pranams to his mother. Sannyasoham. You must keep your word. I must keep my word. And leaves. Never to be seen again. Shankaracharya went to Benares. Benares, as we said, was the seat of the Mayavadis. That's where he was learning and establishing the philosophy of Mayavad. Here Prabhupada in the purport explains what is that philosophy of Mayavad. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jiva Brahmeva Naparaha. Brahma Satyam, the Brahman is truth. Jagan Mithya, the material world is false. Jiva, Brahmeva, Naparaha. And the Jiva and the Brahman, Naparaha, there's no difference. Brahman is real, material world is false, and ultimately the Jiva is that, Brahman. This is Mayavad. So this is what Shankaracharya was learning from his teachers. And then at age 16, after mastering everything, Sanskrit, rhetoric, logic, grammar, everything, Shankaracharya at the age of 16 began to travel. For 16 years, Shankaracharya traveled. And when Shankaracharya traveled, he traveled to the four corners of India. In the north, he went all the way to Badrik Ashram. In the east, he went all the way to Jagannath Puri. In the south, he went all the way to Rameshwaram. And in the west, he went all the way to Dwarka, Char Dham. Monasteries in every single place. Shankaracharya circled the entire expanse of India and in this way established Mayavad everywhere. And therefore Mayavad is so prominent. So why did the Supreme Lord tell Lord Shiva to come and establish this philosophy which says that we are God and that Krishna, his form is just Maya? Why did he do that? Because his main objective was to at least re-establish the authority of the Vedas in a way that would be digestible to the people of that time who were very much influenced by Buddhism. Because after the Buddha had come, then Ashoka, the Emperor Ashoka, had spread Buddhism far and wide. So it's a long history and our time is short, so we won't go through the whole history. But essentially, you can remember it like this. Buddha came and taught atheism and rejected the Vedas. Shankaracharya established the Vedas, but he denied the difference between the living entity and God. Ramanuja Acharya came next and he detected the difference between the Jiva and God, because his philosophy was Vishishtadvaita, which means qualified monism. Yes, there is a oneness between the Jiva and God, but there is also a difference. Madhvacharya then preached his philosophy of pure dualism, and he emphasized the difference between the Jiva and God. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and preaches Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva and harmonizes the difference between the Jiva and God. Okay? So Shankaracharya denies the difference, Ramanuja Acharya detects the difference, Madhvacharya emphasizes the difference, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, gives the icing on the cake, harmonizes everything, and establishes the most evolved presentation of Vedic teachings in his philosophy, which was later documented by Jiva Goswami, known as Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Most people think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the God-intoxicated saint, the one who was traveling and singing and dancing and falling down on the ground in complete ecstasy. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also a great philosopher. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also traveled India and he met the followers of Ramanuja. He met the followers of Shankaracharya. He met the followers of Madhvacharya, the Tattvavadis, and convinced them of his philosophy. Every Vaishnav or even Shankaracharya, every Acharya is said to only be an Acharya if they commentate on what we know as the Prasthana Trayi. Prasthana Trayi means three principal Vedic texts. The three principal Vedic texts which every Acharya has to commentate on. Number one, the Upanishads. Unless you make a commentary on the Upanishads, you can't be an Acharya. Upanishads are known as Shruti Prasthan. They are the gateway to the Shruti scriptures. To be an Acharya, you also have to do a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, because Bhagavad Gita is Smriti Prasthan, it's the gateway to the Smritis. And to be an Acharya, third thing you have to commentate on is the Vedanta Sutra, because the Vedanta Sutra is known as Naya Prasthan. So Shankaracharya commented on all of these, and his famous commentary on the Vedanta Sutra was known as Shariraka Bhasya. And in this Shariraka Bhasya, which Srila Prabhupada refers to many times in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he establishes Mayavad. So his commentary on Vedanta Sutra was Shariraka Bhasya. Ramanuja's commentary on Vedanta Sutra was known as Sri Bhasya. Madhvacharya's commentary on the Vedanta Sutra was known as Brahma Sutra Bhasya. And what was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's commentary on the Bhagavatam? There was no commentary. No commentary. No commentary. All acharyas, all great teachers, all illustrious personalities who are bringing Vedic knowledge into the world have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Why you don't have a commentary? Bhashyam Brahma Sutra Nam, Mahaprabhu said. We don't need a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra because a natural commentary to the Vedanta Sutra is already there. And what is that? Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Srimad Bhagavatam Ishyate Tadra Samrita Triptasya Nanyatra Shyadrati Kvachit. Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi. The essence of all Vedanta, Srimad Bhagavatam Ishyate, is contained within Bhagavatam. So Mahaprabhu did not bother with that. Neither he told his direct disciples, don't bother. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, all the truths of Vedanta are revealed in a crystal clear way. Hold on to that thought about commentaries on the Vedanta Sutra, because today is also the disappearance of Baladev Vidyabhusan. And we will come to this point of a commentary on Vedanta Sutra when we talk about Baladev Vidyabhusan. But let us continue the journey. So Shankaracharya came, and then Ramanuja, and then Madhvacharya, and then Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu established the Chintya Beda Beda Tattva. But Mahaprabhu didn't just establish the philosophy, he demonstrated the teachings of the Sampradaya by exhibiting pure love for Krishna. Mahaprabhu's great contribution was that he demonstrated Krishna Prema in its highest degree. Mahaprabhu's direct followers, the Goswamis, their special contribution was that they documented. They documented that understanding of how each person can also develop that prema within their own life. So Mahaprabhu was teaching or demonstrating pure love in the early 1500s. The Goswamis of Vrindavan went on to document this prema. That was mid to late 1500s. And then in the late 1500s, early 1600s, there were three great individuals who then distributed that knowledge. Shyamananda Pandit, Narottam Das Thakur, and Srinivasacharya. So they were the ones who were then distributing that knowledge of prema far and wide. After them, the next major link in the chain of the parampara in the kind of mid to late 1600s is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was an incredible person, because his special contribution to the Sampradaya was that he deepened the knowledge. It's said that after Rupa Goswami, Rupa Goswami was Rasacharya. He was someone who had such a profound understanding of Tattva and Rasa that he was unparalleled. But it's said that the only one who came close to Rupa Goswami after Rupa Goswami disappeared the planet was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was so deep in his understanding of Rasa. The Supreme Lord Krishna came himself to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in a dream and said to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I want you to write commentaries which take this knowledge and excavate the jewels in a more profound way. His name, Chakravarti. Chakra means a circle and Varti means to expand. Vishwanath. Vishwa means the universe and Nath means the Lord. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur literally means one who expands the circle of bhakti to the Supreme Lord, who is the proprietor of all of the universes. He was writing so prolifically. It's said that he would write sometimes on palm leaves and there would be a storm, but above him there would be no rain. You know, sometimes you see a cartoon and it's sunny everywhere, but there's this person who's really depressed and a cloud comes over them and then just rains on that one person. So with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it was the complete opposite. It may have been raining everywhere, but somehow or other, by the mystic potency of Krishna, above where he was, it was completely dry. Not one drop of water on his body, not one drop on his scripture, on his palm leaves that he was writing. And he wrote like this so many amazing literatures. Sararta Darshini, commentaries on the 12 cantos of the Bhagavatam. Sararta Varshini, commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita. Madhurya Kadambini, commentaries on verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami. Many, many. Not just books, songs. So many beautiful songs. Every morning we're singing Guru Vastakam, written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was an incredible person. He deepened the knowledge of the Sampradaya. Today is the disappearance of Baladev Vidyabhusan. And Baladev Vidyabhusan also did an amazing thing. He defended the teachings of the Sampradaya. If Mahaprabhu demonstrated the teachings of the Sampradaya, the Goswamis documented the teachings, the three great acharyas after him distributed those teachings, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur deepened the teachings, then the great contribution of Baladev Vidyabhusan was that he defended the teachings. How did he defend the teachings? Then we have to look at Baladev Vidyabhusan's life. Baladev Vidyabhusan was born in the 18th century, in the 1700s, in a Vaishya family. Although born in a Vaishya family, he had a tendency towards learning, towards gyan, towards studying the scriptures. And therefore at a very young age, just like Shankaracharya, he mastered Sanskrit, logic, rhetoric, grammar, all of these things. He was hungry for knowledge, hungry to understand the absolute truth, and so at a very young age, 5, 6, 7 years old, he went walking, looking for teachers, looking for sadhus, looking for acharyas who could enlighten him as to the purpose of life. Then he encountered teachers in the Madhva line, those who were following in the line of Madhvacharya. And when he heard their explanation of Vedanta, then he was convinced. And he dedicated himself to following the Madhva teachings, Baladev Vidyabhusan. And Baladev Vidyabhusan, at a very early age, maybe just like Shankaracharya, 8, 9, 10, something like that, he took sannyas. Baladev Vidyabhusan also took sannyas very, very early. So Baladev Vidyabhusan, like this, was following his path of the Madhvas. But then one day he came across someone called Radha Damodar Goswami. Radha Damodar Goswami was one of the great teachers in the Gaudiya line. And when Baladev Vidyabhusan encountered him and began hearing his explanations of Vedanta, then Baladev Vidyabhusan said, there is something extra here. Radha Damodar Goswami specifically narrated the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Baladev Vidyabhusan, but he narrated a very specific pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Baladev Vidyabhusan, which convinced Baladev Vidyabhusan to adopt the Gaudiya path. And you know what pastimes they were? The conversation that we're reading at the moment. To Baladev Vidyabhusan, Radha Damodar Goswami narrated the conversations between Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya and Gauranga. And when Baladev heard that, then he became convinced. Oh my God, this is even more evolved. This is even more profound. This is even more deep. And in this way, Baladev Vidyabhusan himself became convinced of the Gaudiya path. And he began to study the literatures of the Goswamis. Specifically, he began to study Jiva Goswami's Satsandarbha. Because in Jiva Goswami's Satsandarbha, the entire theology of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is summarized comprehensively, succinctly, and with unparalleled clarity. Baladev Vidyabhusan, to further his studies after meeting Radha Damodar Goswami in Jagannath Puri, to further his studies, he went to the place which is dear to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. He went to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, Baladev Vidyabhusan encountered Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who had deepened the insights of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And there, Baladev Vidyabhusan, as a humble student, sat at the feet of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and began to learn from him many, many things. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained many beautiful things to Baladev Vidyabhusan, but of all things he explained to Baladev Vidyabhusan, perhaps the most amazing was his exposition of the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nimnaganam yatha ganga devanam achuto yatha Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu purananam idam tatha. Without a shadow of a doubt, he explained to Baladev, Nimnaganam yatha ganga, of all rivers, Ganga is the foremost. Devanam achuto yatha, of all devas, Achuta is the foremost. Vaishnavanam yatha sambhu, of all Vaishnavas, Shiva is foremost. Purananam idam tatha, of all Puranas, of all Shastra, Bhagavatam is unparalleled. So Baladev Vidyabhusan became convinced. At this time, Baladev Vidyabhusan and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur were in Vrindavan. Everything was beautiful, but a controversy arose. A controversy arose not in Vrindavan, but in nearby Jaipur, a place which is also dear to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because in the time of the Goswamis, many of the deities were moved from Vrindavan to Jaipur. So if you go to Jaipur today, then in Jaipur there's Govindaji and Gopinath. And then there's Madan Mohan in Karali. So these three deities are the life and soul of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So Jaipur is a very important place. So a controversy arose in Jaipur. Why? Why would there be a controversy? The king is a Gaudiya Vaishnav. The worship of the deities are going on. Everything's beautiful. No, a controversy arose. Because in Jaipur, there were followers of Ramanuja, Ramanandis, they were known as. And they raised a controversy. They said, these beautiful deities, Govinda and Gopinath, they are being worshipped by the Gaudiyas. But the Gaudiya Sampradaya is not a bona fide Sampradaya. How? The king said. How you can say the Gaudiyas are not a proper Sampradaya? Because they don't have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Shankaracharya has, Sri Rakabhasya. Ramanujas have, Sri Bhasya. Madhvacharya has, Brahma Sutra Bhasya. Where is the Gaudiya commentary on Vedanta Sutra? So the king was a Vaishnav. He was baffled. The Ramanandi said, if you don't show us your commentary on Vedanta Sutra, you must stop the worship of Govinda and Gopinath. The king said, this is the life and soul of the Vaishnavas. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Govindaji, Gopinath, this is our life and soul. They said, no, you are not a bona fide Sampradaya. The king of Jaipur, a great Vaishnav, he was not sure, so he immediately sent a message to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Vrindavan. He said, Vishwanath ji, a great controversy has arisen here. How do I answer this? Please come and resolve the situation. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, I'm old. I cannot come. but I'll send my student. I'll send my student Baladev Vidyabhusan. He will come to Jaipur and he will answer all the queries. So Baladev Vidyabhusan, a student at that time of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, came to Jaipur. And in the court of the king, all the Ramanandis had lined up. And Baladev Vidyabhusan came into the court hall. And there was the king, waiting with bated breath, hoping that Baladev Vidyabhusan would be able to resolve the situation, lest the deities of Govindaji and Gopinath would be lost to the Gaudiyas. So there it was, a conference, a debate, a discussion. And the Ramanandis began putting forward their arguments. And Baladev Vidyabhusan put forward his counter-arguments with great philosophical exposition, with great depth, with great clarity, with incredible logic, with Shastric backup. He explained that you are criticizing us for not having a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. You don't know Bhagavatam is the commentary. Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam sukha mukhad amrita dravya samyutam. The Bhagavatam is the galitam phalam, is the ripened fruit on the tree of Vedic knowledge. How you can say, we follow Bhagavatam? The Ramanandis said, look, see, we've proved it. You don't have a commentary. You don't have a commentary? Baladev Vidyabhusa said, we don't have a commentary. Bhagavatam is our commentary. They said, see, you don't have a commentary. Therefore, king, they don't have a commentary. Their deities must be taken away. Baladev Vidyabhusan had to somehow resolve the situation. So in the spur of the moment, Krishna inspired him. He said, we will write a commentary. We will bring a commentary to you. Now, I don't know if anyone's ever written a book. It's not so easy to write a book, you know. I mean, it takes a lot of thought. You know, you get writer's block. You know, it's very frustrating sometimes. It can take years. Now, what to speak of writing a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, the most complex philosophical exposition in creation? Baladev Vidyabhusan, I'll bring a commentary. Okay, court adjourned. Come back in a few days and show us your commentary. So Baladev Vidyabhusan went away. Divya Vrindaranya Kalpadrumado Srimad Ratnagara Simhasanasto. He looked at Govindaji and said, Ratna Simhasan, you're sitting there on a jewel throne being worshipped by all your devotees. Govindaji, we want to continue this worship. He came in front of Govindaji and said, you have to do something. I don't know now. I said this. We're trying to serve you. You have to help us. That night, Govindaji came into Baladev's dream. And he said, don't worry. Don't worry about a thing. I will work through you. I will channel my energy through you. I will empower you. You just hold the pen up to the palm leaf and let me do all the work. And indeed, Baladev Vidyabhusan woke up, picked up his pen and began writing. And it was all just coming. It's all just coming, all the knowledge. And within a few days, he wrote the whole commentary on Vedanta Sutra. He named that commentary on Vedanta Sutra Govinda Bhashya. He said, it's not my Bhashya. It's not my words. It's not my language. It's not my explanation. It's not my expression. This is Govinda Bhashya. Govindaji's direct revelation. So then he went back to the court. Okay, where is your comment? Here it is. Govinda Bhashya. And then he began to expound upon everything that Govindaji had narrated through him in that Govinda Bhashya. And as he began speaking Vedanta Sutra and this commentary, everyone was amazed. Everyone was startled. Everyone's mind was blown. And they looked at Baladev and they said, today, from today, you will be known as Vidya Bhushan. Bhushan means an ornament. And Vidya means knowledge. One whose knowledge is their ornament, Their knowledge is so profound that they are able to explain in this way. And so today we are remembering Baladev Vidyabhusan on his disappearance day. If you open the Bhagavad Gita today, please do that. Today, open your Bhagavad Gita to the front, and there Srila Prabhupada dedicates his whole Bhagavad Gita to Baladev Vidyabhusan, who beautifully created this Govinda Bhasha commentary through the empowerment of Govindaji, which defended the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So today, on this day, the verse was all about Shankaracharya, and today was the disappearance day, or is the disappearance day, of Baladev Vidyabhusan. So I thought we'd just take the whole journey from Shankaracharya to Baladev Vidyabhusan. We began the class by talking about how there's so many ways to teach, and teaching by one's speech is just one way. There's so many ways. And one other way the Lord teaches is he teaches by deviation. Shankaracharya came and he deviated from the Sampradaya with a purpose to bringing people back to the Sampradaya. He denied the difference between the living entity and God. Ramanuja detected the difference. Madhvacharya emphasized the difference. Mahaprabhu harmonized the difference. Not only did Mahaprabhu harmonize the difference, but he demonstrated the teachings of the Acharyas, the teachings of the Sampradaya. Mahaprabhu's followers, the Goswamis, documented the teachings of the Sampradaya. Their followers, the three, Srinivas, Shyamananda, and Naratam, they distributed those teachings. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur came along in the 1600s and he deepened those teachings by giving much extra knowledge. And today is the disappearance of Baladev Vidyabhusan. He defended the Sampradaya by creating this beautiful commentary on Vedanta Sutra, which established to the world, without a shadow of a doubt, that Gaudiya Vaishnavism is the most evolved expression of theological brilliance in the world. Therefore, Gaudiya means to come from Bengal, Gouda. But Gaudiya also comes from the word Gaur, which means jaggery, which is very, very sweet. Because Gaudiya means the Sampradaya, the teachings which are the icing on the cake, which give the ultimate conclusion of everything. So like this, when we study the Sampradaya of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, then we realize how much of an illustrious line we are in. And in this way, we look at our own lives and feel our own disqualification to be connected to such personalities. But at the same time, we feel impelled to rise, to improve, to actually become worthy representatives of this Guru Parampara, in which so many illustrious personalities appeared, who did so many amazing things, and gave us the greatest gift in creation, which is the ability to awaken pure love for Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So thank you so much for your kind attention and participation.